podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local and some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Andy, Elizabeth, Sandy, and Amy. Our topic today is themed vacations, especially food and wine. Have you ever wanted to cruise with a famous chef? How about learn more about food and wine pairings? What about beer? If you can imagine it, chances are you can experience it. One of our favorite topics for sure, and so let's get started.
I think the cooking classes thing is a great thing to talk about because a lot of people, especially Italy, want to go to Italy and take cooking classes. That's sort of the year in Tuscany kind of idea. And there's lots of options out there for sort of living local. You can live on farms for, 2 weeks and really learn to cook an actual person in Italy does, as opposed to how we imagine Italians cook. So there's some great opportunities out there if you really love that aspect. If you're not just an eater, if you're a cooker, if you're a chef, if you want to be a chef. And Italy seems to be a real mecca. You can do that in other countries as well, but Italy seems to be sort of
A lot of tours specifically let you do that. I know G Adventures is good about getting into the local culture, and they have the Southeast Asian one where they go to Cambodia. And I think Disney does too. But definitely you can experience more of the culture through the food.
So. I know my mother just got back from, I think it was the Tuscany region, on a food tour. And she came back with pictures. They were in somebody's house, actually, as part of their tour. And they were making ricotta. And then another place they stopped, they made fresh mozzarella. And the pictures of this, it was just amazing. Awesome. They're gone.
That's one of the things. I mean, we're talking about Italy, but I mean, we're not just, staying in Europe. I mean, France is another country that's known, particularly well known for its food. You go to Paris, you want to try and eat a fresh baguette from the Boulangerie, Camembert cheese, some Roquefort, something like that. Maybe try your hand at escargot or some frog's legs in the country that actually came up with these as dishes. But it's not just the well-known Parisian, French five-star meals. I mean, you can get out into the far more further-flung regions of the country. I lived in Alsace for 6 months, and obviously there's a large Germanic influence there. Germany's not particularly well-known for its food, but you throw it in with a bit of a French twist with the tarte flambé, which comes out. It's basically a rustic pizza on fire. It's something to be seen, to be believed, but it tastes absolutely fantastic. Well, and throw that in some local Alsatian wine, the Riesling or Gewürztraminer. That's a reason alone to visit somewhere like Alsace-Lorraine on the German and Swiss border.
And I think some of the, we started talking about cooking and moved into the eating really quickly because that's our favorite thing to do. I think too that, you can say that you've had French bread. I mean, who hasn't gone to a grocery store in the United States and bought French bread? But it's not French bread. It's kind of like, people talk about the New York bagel, and it's not really a New York bagel unless it was made in New York water. And there's, there really is some truth to that. There's certain things, types of cheeses, things like that, that just are better where they come from. And it's a different experience to experience them actually there. So if you love food and you think you've tried every kind of food out there, it's really good to sort of get into where it comes from. And a lot of it is so simple. I was just thinking about raclette, because who doesn't think about raclette? It's melted cheese. And honestly, if you start thinking about it, every country has some sort of melted cheese delicacy that is, and really that's raclette is just melted cheese over like pickles and potatoes and onions. How simple can you possibly get? And, in Greece, they set the cheese on fire and put it on the plate in front of you.
Yeah, so it's one of the things that you see popping up a lot now that's getting more popular are themed cruises. And a lot of, like the river cruises have themes, but also the regular more...
Ocean cruises.
Yeah, they have like celebrity chefs. And what do you, do you guys have like a bucket list of river cruise? Because I know what mine would be.
That's what yours would be.
It would be the chocolate river
cruise. Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
Wine.
Right?
There's wine. I think there's some cheese. Wine and cheese one.
Mm-hmm. There's several. Yeah. Wine. Yeah. Beer.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. For me, it's the beer. And I'm just actually looking at AMA, waterways itineraries for beer, and they start in Amsterdam and end up, you know, usually in the Germany area, going through Germany, which seems pretty ideal for beer. Usually the nice things about these, especially the river cruises for their food themed cruises or their wine themed cruises, they have experts on board with you. So you get that educational element as well. You may get hands-on cooking classes or preparation classes, tastings, things like that. And so for the wine and beer cruises, you'll have a lot of pairings. You'll discuss how wine or beer sort of goes with the food. And of course you'll get the history, which, you know, obviously in Europe, wine and beer are two of the oldest drinks there are. And you get sort of that history of winemaking or beer making and get to experience it in its region. There are a lot more options for itineraries for wine than there are for beer, but there's still, you know, great things out there. And those extend to other regions of the world as well. It's not just Europe, but other places where they make beer or wine. There are great tours. There are South African tours for wine, and there's New Zealand tours for wine in Australia. So anywhere where they grow a good grape, you can find a great
thing I like about the river cruises as well, they're typically smaller vessels, so it's a more intimate environment. You know, you're not surrounded by 4,000 of your closest friends. It's a much more natural setting, lends itself to that sort of wine and food pairing with that interaction with the local expert.
Yes.
That has a lot going
on. And they have excellent chefs on board already. So mm-hmm. even if you're not taking a themed cruise for food, you're going to get excellent food. And so it's sort of like you get that win-win of you've already got great food on the ship, and then you get to hear about either a regional food or wine or beverage to, you know, or beer to go with it.
Well, I think something that I've heard a lot recently, and I've heard it sort of more in conjunction with North Carolina breweries, is sort of drink like a local, but I've also heard eat like a local.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's really a good mantra to live by whenever you're thinking about taking a trip, whether it is culinary themed or just your trip to Europe or South America or wherever you're going. Try the local food, because who knows if you'll ever get a chance to try that again, whether it's from a local food vendor, from a food truck, or just somebody sitting on the side of the road. We just came back off a Western Caribbean cruise, and we ended up getting a smoothie from a local guy in Cozumel, Mexico, in the local town, who just got it from fresh-made mangoes and fresh strawberries, made it with, you know, in his blender on the street corner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you couldn't have got that really anywhere else, and it was absolutely fantastic. The kids love eat and drink the local things, and expose yourselves to some of the more exotic things that are out there that you might not have a chance to experience at all.
I'm noticing more and more itineraries actually have stops in food markets, like in local markets, you know, what we would call a farmer's market, but then the normal street markets. And it's true that they have them in Asia, they have them in Europe, where as part of your tour, you'll stop there. And oftentimes you'll shop for your dinner that night. You'll actually work with the chef to, you know, you'll be there with the chef, and he'll discuss how he's choosing various, items of produce or what have you to include in the meal. And so you are getting very local food, even on, you know, some people think, oh, if I cruise, it's all going to be shipped in from, you know, there's mm-hmm. these big heads of iceberg lettuce or whatever. That's actually not true. They try to source a lot of that locally. It's cheaper for them in many respects to do that. So
what about the traditional type ocean cruises? What do you guys think about?
So a lot of those now, I mean, you used to see it a little bit, but now there's, I think on almost every ocean cruise line, there's specialty dining restaurants, and they're extra. So I think some people tend to stay away from them because they think they're paying for their cruise. And it's great food, so why would you pay extra? But again, like Andy said earlier, try it, because it is a much smaller, more intimate atmosphere. You're getting something special that you wouldn't be getting in the regular dining room. And I can personally speak for Celebrity. Cuisine is like this fusion type restaurant. You've got Normandy is the French. I think there's a steakhouse too on a couple of the ships. It's awesome. And you got to try it. And it took me years to try paying extra on a cruise line to go to a specialty restaurant, but it was amazing. I have to do it at least once in every cruise.
I really objected to it when it first came out. I really objected to paying extra when that idea of specialty dining first came out. And now I look for dining packages. I don't want to eat in the dining rooms anymore. I want to eat in the specialty restaurants. And I just sort of incorporate that into the cost of my cruise. You know, I too have had experiences, and I've eaten in some of the world's greatest restaurants. I not a lot of them because of the price tags, but I certainly have had my fair share, and I've been to celebrity restaurants, and you know, I was on the Allure of the Seas And in their sort of more gourmet restaurant, which the name is escaping me right now, I want to say it's 150 Garden, I think is what it's called. And I apologize for everybody out there who's correcting me right now madly. But they actually had like six kinds of salt on the table for you to salt your butter with. I mean, those are things that, you know, I don't always see even in some of the higher end restaurants. But and they discussed the salt with us and told us, now this one's going to be a sweeter salt because it comes from here and it carries these. So, you know, you actually can learn a lot about food even on, and the Allure of the Seas is one of the world's largest cruise ships. So, you know, we're not talking about a small intimate affair, yet you can have this really, you know, beautiful meal. And it was more, the meal was more than salt, I assure you.
A lot of the cruise lines now are sort of linking themselves up with celebrity chefs. I know Norwegian have, what's the guy's, the chef's name?
Zakarian.
Is that his name?
Yes, Zakarian, yep.
And that's a big attraction for a lot of folks. And even, you know, getting down the line to Carnival Cruise Lines, they've got a link now with Guy Fieri, and his burger joint was absolutely phenomenal. I considered it a must-do for me, so just try everything on the menu, all in the name of research, of course. but he had a one burger on there, he called it the pig patty. It was a patty made purely of bacon. And it was fantastic for a bacon lover like myself, bacon connoisseur, if you like, with his technically named super melty cheese. Amy, I know that appeals to you. but it was incredible. And, you know, would I have had a chance to eat at one of his places in South Carolina? No. But since you're on board ship, and it's the opportunity is there. And that was one of the actual places that was included out by the pool.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know when Lindsay and I were talking before, she's been to Remy on the Disney ship. I've been to Apollo. And I can't wait to go back to Apollo. I mean, it's an upcharge. It's $25. But the meal you get is so much better than a $25 meal. And what did you say about yours, Lindsay?
Dinner at Remy was like a life-changing experience for me. One of those people who was counting every penny and going, oh, food is already included. Why do I want to do this? And I'm so, so glad I did. And not only did I do the dinner, which was $75 extra.
That's steep.
I did a wine pairing as well. So with tip and everything, it was over $200. But it was so worth it. It was the best meal. And every course, they just kept coming.
Yeah.
they just kept, you know. And their menu is set up so you can order the all-American, a straight-down all-American side, or you can order a complete French side. And, of course, I was goaded into going adventure. That's one thing about trying these things. You're going to try things when you travel that you might not necessarily open yourself up to when you're sitting at a restaurant at home. You're going to broaden your horizons. I myself am not a foodie. I have a lot of friends that are foodies and have been very gracious to eat with them, and it has broadened my taste in general. But Remy, still worth the money. And every time I cruise on Disney Cruise Line now, I will want to go to Remy or Palo just because of the experience. Did you do lunch at Palo?
I did dinner at Palo, and I'm doing it again. I just made my reservation today, actually. I was trying to do brunch, but it wasn't available.
I've done the brunch a couple times, and it's fantastic. I like how they present the food to you, too. You get to kind of walk around and see all of the all of your options. And
that actually brings up another food choice on the major cruise lines. Almost all of them now have a chef's table option. Mm-hmm. And if you're sort of new to foodieism, you might not know what that is, but that literally is, I mean, in many restaurants, higher end restaurants, a chef's table is actually in the kitchen, and you're actually, the chef is coming over and talking to you and making things especially for you. You don't necessarily have any say in what he's making for you because he's the chef and he knows best, and you just trust. And actually I have, yes. And I have tried, you know, things that I never would try simply because the chef just put it in front of me, and I don't want to be like, I don't want to try that. And yes. And they often include wine pairings. And so by the third course or so, you don't even really know what you're eating.
They pair them so well that the tastes just meld together, and it might be too completely, it might be a wine that you yourself would never drink alone, or a entree that you wouldn't find palatable without the wine, but the skill of knowing how to bring out those flavors. And that's something that myself, I can't do at home. So I really enjoy that.
It's a treat for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that brings us on to something we're probably a little bit more familiar with, about Disney Cruise Lines, but of course, while Disney World have their Food and Wine Fest, I've never had a chance to go down there. I've been to Disney World many times.
What?
I know, I'll be tagging along sometime.
The most wonderful time of the year.
All right, that was Christmas.
No, food and wine.
Tell me why.
30 different kiosks from all around the world, chefs, menus flowing in. You get a chance to buy a sample size of something where, again, you wouldn't want to try something new and exotic for maybe a whole plate at a sit-down restaurant. You can kind of graze your way around the World Showcase and be a little more adventurous.
It's adorable how you said, try a little something. Because you actually try like a million little somethings. And,
Yeah, lots and lots of little somethings.
Yeah. And you know, interestingly, it's sort of a street food kind of thing, because they give you things. Now, not everything is street food necessarily, but a lot of it is portable, because they're, you know, you're being served on teeny weeny little plastic plates with a little plastic fork. So it's really designed to sort of eat and run. So you are getting sort of that element, that sort of food truck element, which is so the rage right now, with a little bit less weight for it. And you can get everything from, I mean, there's Belgian waffles, there's escargot, there's cheddar cheese soup.
Lobster roll.
I was with a friend who actually bypassed the chorizo quesadilla, because she's like, I can get a chorizo quesadilla anywhere. And I had it. That was the best chorizo quesadilla I've ever had. I gave her a bite and she was like, I should not have passed that by. It was so good. I mean, even little things.
Yeah.
You said, I mean, for somebody like me who's never experienced this, I know that it's all an additional cost. How much typically are the plates that you
$5. $5.
Yeah, okay. Between 4 and 7, depending. Like the lobster roll is pretty pricey.
Yeah, the lobster roll is your best bet for using a snack credit.
Oh, I usually load about $50 to $60 on a gift card to spend.
And that's drinking too. There's a beer garden.
Now you got my
attention. What else do we need to say?
There is a craft beer booth that was introduced just a few years ago, actually. There used to not actually be much beer except for the Sam Adams stuff, which, you know, because they partner, I think, over at the American Pavilion, they've always sort of been a part of it.
Well, there's always Carlsberg.
Yeah, but they, yeah, well, there's always good beer at, you know, at Epcot. There's beer from around the world, but yes, their craft beer wasn't really a feature. It was the food and wine festival, so it focused more on wine, but they are bringing in more craft beer now.
And they're starting to do a lot more of that with the Flower and Garden Festival as well. Mm-hmm.
Flower and Garden Festival is a little bit more about food, farm to table. It's more of the, farm to table stuff, so fresh stuff.
Well, we're seeing more and more of that pretty much anywhere, particularly around here in the Southeast. But I know it's a big national phenomenon as well, the farm to table.
It's definitely all over, for sure. And I mean, honestly, it didn't start here by any stretch. It came here last. So, some of the big cities. And there's also, you know, going to big cities, not only a lot of people will do, and I'm guilty of this, the celebrity chef restaurants in New York City and in Las Vegas and in San Francisco and in Los Angeles and places like that. But honestly, I actually just returned from a trip to San Francisco, and I can't tell you how important it is that you just go out into a neighborhood and walk into a place to eat and eat there. Food in San Francisco it's sort of like eating salmon in the Pacific Northwest. Even if you buy wild salmon somewhere else in the country, it doesn't taste as good as it does in the Pacific Northwest, because you're just so close to the source. And San Francisco is so close to so many sources of food. California has every climate imaginable. Yeah, they can grow anything there. You know, Los Angeles, we actually joked about it when I was in San Francisco. Los Angeles isn't as much a food town, I think. You know, you can get a lot of red beans and rice. It tends to be a little bit more of a showy city and not so much about the food. That's not to say there aren't great restaurants in Los Angeles, but San Francisco is really well known for various, all types of cuisine. There's, you know, Chinatown and the Tenderloin, and you've just got so many districts that have people from other cultures, and it's all blending together.
But like you were saying, you know, going out into the local areas, one of the best meals I've had was in Kinston, North Carolina, and it's a farm-to-fork restaurant. The chef, it was called the Chef and the Farmer, and they actually have a show on PBS. It's a local North Carolina PBS show, but it was phenomenal. And then we just cruised down the street to the Mother Earth Brewery. That was such a good trip. Mm-hmm. And Kinston, North Carolina, has anybody heard of Kinston, North Carolina?
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen that restaurant. Scott has been talking about that too.
It's getting a lot of attention.
It's worth the trip. It's about an hour and a half from Raleigh, and we spent the night. And
I think it is, you know, and we were in Amsterdam not too long ago, and we were also in, you know, a small town in Germany, and we didn't even ask people for recommendations. You just sort of walk around and find some place to eat. And even if it sucks, it's still going to be different.
That's how we ate every meal in Rome. And it was fantastic. I can't remember the name of one single restaurant or little kiosk that we ate at, but it was the most amazing.
Yes.
I mean, the world is definitely getting smaller, and big cities in particular have a huge influx from people from around the world, their cuisine with them. And I've eaten, you know, Croatian cuisine, try saying that three times fast, in Berlin, and I've eaten Ethiopian cuisine in Paris, and it's all just fantastic.
I hear you can get good Indian food in England, is that true?
Yeah, where I'm from, it's known as the curry capital.
I had really good Italian food in Ireland. It was kind of a little strange experience.
Unexpected treat as you go somewhere. I mean, I've had really good Italian food in Germany. I know they have a lot of Italian immigrants who came to work. You go to Germany and you don't think you're going to get really good Italian. You can.
You can. It's a small world after all.
I'm going to be singing that all night.
That was brilliant, I
had
think.
To do that.
Nice
segue. Well, that is our show for this week. Hopefully you whet your appetite for a different kind of vacation. On behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, Amy, Andy, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.